everybody. I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond. Welcome to the PTSD and Beyond podcast, where we give you insights into post-traumatic stress, trauma recovery, healing, and beyond. I'm Dr. Deb Lind, and in each episode, I have a conversation with a guest who will stimulate your mind, touch your heart, and connect with your spirit, and also give you a greater understanding of yourself and others on this healing and recovery journey walked by so many of us before, wounded healers with lived experience and heroes. Hopefully, we'll also provide a glimpse into possibilities and purpose, hope, and inspiration. Thanks for listening and enjoy the podcast. One last thing, guys, before we dive into today's episode, if you'd like an ad-free experience and like early access to new episodes and special events, I want to let you know you can join us at patreon.com. That is patreon.com/PTSD and beyond. All right, let's do it. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond. Welcome to another episode. I am so glad that you're here and that we're spending some time together. There's a topic that I want to cover, and I want to preface it that life is not an absolute, okay? When we're working in trauma recovery, there's many things that we need to look at and that we need to consider when making statements. And I'm saying that and I'm laughing because this week's topic that I'd like us to examine, if you will, is the topic of people-pleasing and how people-pleasing is a trauma response and why people do it. What does it mean when people-please? And while I'm saying that word, phrase, people-please, there's a lot of P's in there. I hope I don't get tongue twisted, but there's reasons why people please. Now, I know that some of our listeners who are reoccurring listeners, and thank you for doing so, in all 96 countries, yay, I need to get some sound effects, you know, get some really fancy sound effects, but thank you again for joining in. And then for folks that are new, why don't I introduce myself? I'm Dr. Deb Lind. I am a peer advocate, as well as a survivor warrior of post-traumatic stress, rooted in and from child abuse with a narcissistic parent. I've been practicing, I would say, self-development and walking this journey, more than 18 years now. And how I started this was a promise that I made to myself when I was 16. Yes, I am soon to be 54. Ta-da! I will not tell you when my birthday is. But nonetheless, I made a promise to myself when I was 16 years old, and I've honored that promise. One of the things that I often say is that if you cannot keep a promise to yourself, who can you keep a promise to? And the reason why the topic people-pleasing came about was I was seeing patterns with some of the folks in our community and the struggles of one of the outcomes of the pandemic is relationships that are no longer, so people that are no longer together. And the awareness of people understanding and seeing that they behaved in a certain way and in order for us to grieve and to move on and to heal and to again move on and to recover in some areas and to take a few steps back and then, you know, make some progress forward, people were becoming aware that they were doing things and behaving in ways that were neglecting themselves. And some to the extent of losing myself is the common phrase. Or I lost myself. I can't believe I lost myself. And
people pleasing. There's a reason why we people please. There's a reason why people with narcissistic tendencies or abusive tendencies choose to seek out people that are people pleasers. So I always put it out there in organization development, that's what my background's in, that we use ourselves as the experiment, the practitioner, the clinician, as well as the innovator. We're all it, right? We're all in. We don't do anything as a toe dipper. And so I'm laughing because when I was helping some folks overcoming and going through that awareness process of, you know, undercovering, you know, and discovering those people-pleasing behaviors, I started noticing a couple of things with myself. And I want to share a quick story here with you. I can remember my biological mother asking for this particular Christmas gift. And I don't know if anybody's familiar with Steuben crystal, but it's a pretty fine crystal. It's not something that is inexpensive by any sort. And I was a young person, and I can remember a few other gifts that they had asked. And all I wanted her to do was to be happy. So, of course, you know, I remember going and purchasing this piece of Steuben crystal. And it was at a time where it was not in my budget at all. And I was doing things to make her happy because I wanted her to be happy. When you really dive deep into that phrase, though, I really wanted her to be happy, there was more to it. And the other promise that I've made to myself is that I don't ask anybody to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. So I put myself out there as this peer advocate, survivor, warrior. Oh my gosh, that's so vulnerable to share a story, because while we share our stories, it keeps us accountable. I don't share my story because I need to hear myself talk. And I certainly don't share my story for the accolades, okay? Sidebar tangent, I had to talk about myself today in a meeting, and I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I have all, yes, I've been a yes, right? And the comment was made about, you know, she's so humble about it. For me to get the award, all of that it means, and I'm looking at my wall here because I've been very fortunate to have recognition by my peers, and I appreciate it because my peers, I look at them and I say, you know what, I like what you do. I respect you. So to have that respect acknowledged and reciprocated, you know, that means something to me. I don't do this work because, ooh, I want to be up on stage. I've already been up on stage. Frankly, when I am up on stage, it's like, okay, let me just see, you know, who this is going to benefit and let's put it out there. I do this for, like I said, one thing is to make myself accountable, but the second thing is because it's about you. It's about you. I hope that this stuff resonates with you. The person who's listening to say, does anybody feel the same way that I do? Does anybody, you know, get me? If what I'm saying resonates with you, then the answer is yes. I get you. I hear you. I get you. I might not be able to see you, but I know that you're there. I know that you're there. You guys show up every week, and in like 24 hours last week, the listenership exploded by 120%. So I know somebody is listening to this stuff. So these podcasts and this information, this is all for you, and it's about you. And while I do appreciate the accolades, I really do appreciate when you guys reach out and tell me what this stuff means to you and for you and how it's changed your life. That's what it's about. Because I never want anybody to feel like nobody cares. And I never want anybody to feel like there's no one listening. And I never want anybody to feel like they're alone and that they're the only ones who feel this way. So these podcasts are for you. And why people pleasing is so important for us to discuss is because what I have found with myself, as well as with other people around the world, is that we people please because we don't want to be alone, and we don't want to feel that pain of being abandoned, and we don't want the pain to overcome ourselves so much and so deep that we lose who we are. That we lose who we are. Because at the end of the day, all we have is each other. We don't have anybody else. All we have is each other. And whether you define each other as your pet, your dog, your cat, your siblings, your friends at work, your neighbors, your children, your spouse, your partner, maybe sometimes the only person who we can say that we have is the person that's looking back at us in the mirror. People pleasing runs deep. It runs deep. And there are different ways that it looks like. Like one way is you do an act or behavior to the extent, like it happens so big that you start neglecting yourself. Neglecting self can look like financial. I spend money on other people and I don't spend it on myself. And I'm not talking about basic needs, right? With, you know, say like children, basic care needs. These are things that you do if you sit down at just give an example. I'm sitting down, we're sitting down and we're doing our budgeting. And we want to make the person, we don't want them to leave, or we want their approval and their love. We want them to care about us. And we spend our budget on them versus the budget on ourselves. You go into debt because you want somebody to be happy. You neglect going to the gym instead of, you know, you spend time with somebody else. Extensive, it's excessive. It's not a little bit. It becomes all. And then you start neglecting yourself. So it's an excessive amount of doing acts to please somebody else at the expense of you. At the expense of you. Somebody else brought this up on Monday night. We have a global Twitter chat. It happens every Monday at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time using the hashtag PTSD and Beyond. We'd like to keep things consistent. I mean, come on. You know what? We're pretty cool. We keep things consistent. Why? Another reason why we keep things consistent is because, well, one, it shows trust, right? And then two, it helps us remember because we understand it sometimes. And I'm not laughing because it's not funny. I have this sometimes also. And I have had it in the past where you say, well, you know what? I can't remember anything. Holy buckets. And trauma has a way of affecting our memory. You know, we remember the things we don't want to remember, and we don't remember the things that we do want to remember. So what are some other ways that people-pleasing looks like? Negative self-talk. I'm not worthy for this, so somebody else is. You know, you start justifying things to yourself by the way, you know, you talk. You say that, nah, you know what, I can wait. You know, I'll cash in another time. I can tell you I've actually said that phrase to myself. I'll cash in another time. And then years go by. And, you know, you really do. You got to take a look at yourself and say, okay, like, why did I do that? Why did I do that? And it all comes back to want to make that person, you know, happy. But to the extent of you're neglecting yourself and it's really rooted in other things. Other ways that we can see people-pleasing come up is that negative effects. So in addition to negative self-talk, there can also be burnout, exhaustion, physical, emotional challenges, fears, anxiety, panic, and neglect of, you know, basic self-care. Again, I mentioned exercising because that's a common one. Feeding yourself, you know, eating. I'm not going to eat. I'm going to go do this instead. Or you're adjusting so many things. That, again, you start questioning and wondering, where are the boundaries? And notice that part part of the recovery process is establishing boundaries. And when we do establish boundaries, people will push back, especially people that are not healthy for us, that want you to be pleasing them all the time. They want to be pleased all the time. They want to be taken care of all the time. And they don't really care if you're neglected because they're getting all the attention. They're getting all the attention. So notice that when you start establishing boundaries, there's going to be pushback. There's going to be pushback. There's going to be like, hey, you know, you're moving away from me. You know, those kinds of comments. And it really isn't. It's establishing boundaries to regain presence for yourself and to regain a healthy relationship with yourself and with other people. You know, it's about, you know, what are you willing to stop so things don't hurt any longer, right? People pleasers sometimes too always hope and think that things will get better, but what they need to realize is that nothing changes unless something changes. Let me repeat that again. Nothing changes unless something changes. And what can change? What can change? We talked about boundaries. We talked about, you know, asking ourselves to be honest and real with one another, meaning ourselves, and to figure out, like, why do I people please? You know, what is it? And yes, it is a trauma response for a few reasons. So I prefaced early in the podcast that there aren't things that are absolutes. We look at commonalities of stories. We look at commonalities of research. What does the information out there say? And then also with lived experience. People pleasing can be a trauma response. Do you know what the most common responses for people pleasing in addition to don't want to be neglected or abandoned? Keep yourself safe. To keep yourself safe. Now, a person can be a child. A person can be an adult. And people please to keep themselves safe. Because if I please that person and I'm doing everything I can to make sure that they're pleased, maybe they won't harm me physically, emotionally, mentally, financially. Maybe they won't harm me. So people pleasing is a coping mechanism to make sure that the people pleaser stays safe. Stays safe. What can we do about people pleasing? Is it possible that we can break this cycle? Is it possible for us to overcome people pleasing? We talked a little bit about some of the negative effects. Is it possible for us to create boundaries and to stop people pleasing? Is it possible to do that? The short answer is anything is possible. What one of the challenges becomes, though, is that we need to be aware. So two things. What happens when we're not aware? Remember the phrase, I don't know what I don't know? There's also, I don't want to see what I know. So that's trauma denial. It's trauma denial. Maybe you might have somebody that's a peer support advocate that you trust. Maybe it's a friend that you trust who says, hey, you know what? I notice that you're neglecting yourself in order to make that person happy. Now, have I had that experience? No. No one's ever said, hey, you know what? You're doing that to make that person happy and you're neglecting yourself. Have I had that conversation with myself, though? Yes. Have I had the awareness, the self-awareness? Yes. See, I do this work on myself every day. And I have for many years. Like I said, kept that promise to that little girl, 16 years old, going to be 54. It's a hell of a lot of time to keep a promise. I should knock on something. want to knock on the wall here. I'm a Greek American. Come on. I don't have my bracelet on, you know, but you can. People can break habits. And the one thing to know is that a setback can actually bring awareness and learning to break the cycle. Okay, so maybe there's somebody out there right now that's saying, oh my gosh, it sounds so much like me. First of all, be kind to yourself. I'm congratulating you for being here and listening to this episode. And if you're still with me, you know what? Thank you so much for spending your time together. I really appreciate it. I really do. Because you want to know why? You could be doing something else, but you chose to be here. And I think that's pretty cool because you're giving yourself a gift. This is an investment for you. And I'm honored that you're here. I think it's pretty awesome. So yes, a setback can actually bring awareness and learning to break the cycle. And one way of doing that is seeking out information, that aha moment that will happen. The, you know what? Yeah, I can see how I've actually done some of those things. I can see how I've behaved in certain ways to make sure that somebody else is happy. Make sure that somebody else is happy. And our friends might not always tell us, and our family might not always tell us. And that's where peer support becomes really important. Because when you're in a group that's a safe group, people will bring up things and say, I'm not really sure if you've noticed, but I'm kind of identifying some things. And can we talk about that? I just want to double check and see what some of these things are. And I mentioned quickly about shame and guilt. Because sometimes when we have that awareness, then our self-talk is not very kind to ourselves. And whenever you feel yourself having negative self-talk that's linked to shame and guilt, I'd like you to take a pause and actually say something else to yourself. See, forgiveness and grace, we do it with ourselves first before we can extend it to others. And sometimes we have such an expectation of ourselves that we want ourselves to be a certain way where it's really unfair to do that to ourselves. I'll give you an example. When I was 12, I was expected to be like a 25-year-old. And I was really hard on myself for not being able to perform and do things as a 12-year-old like a 25-year-old. And as I got older and started doing my recovery and healing work, I can remember memories of that disappointment and that guilt and shaming and being hard on myself. And I did forgiveness work for that 12-year-old, and I forgave myself for putting that expectation on me and accepting that expectation. That's why you'll hear me say sometimes like the phrase, it's not yours to own. Yes, I have a Midwest accent. It's not yours. Really yours, but I say yours. It's not yours to own. It's not. It didn't belong with me. It was projected and I accepted it. It's the gift that, yeah, I think I'll return that and send it back to the person who gave it to me. Thank you, but no. How about no? These are all phrases that you can say to yourself. And they're practical phrases, and I don't mean to make fun. Sometimes we need to add a little bit of lightheartedness. Lightheartedness. So what are some things that we can say to ourselves when we're like, oh, you know what? Yeah, it sounds like something that I do. And again, in a kind way and a non-judgmental way. Let's flip that narrative. Let's flip that narrative. You'll also hear me say, I'm earning my leather pants. I'm earning my leather pants. One of these days, I'm going to have to get myself a pair. I've been talking about this for like 2 years, but I'm not back yet to the pre-COVID bod, okay? So I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And so instead, flip the narrative. Flip the narrative and say, you know what? I showed up for myself. And, you know, instead of having your head down, king, queen, keep your head straight up. Keep that crown up. Okay? Look straight. Look ahead. You're here. present, you're giving yourself a gift, and be proud of yourself. Be proud of yourself for showing up, because you know what? There are a lot of people, too many people, in my opinion, that haven't gotten to this place yet. And it's not a judgment of, oh, look at those people. No, that's not it. That's not it at all. I wish, I had a wish, I wish that millions and millions of people would listen to this podcast and millions of millions of people would find solitude in the benefits of doing the work to heal. Because the longer that it takes, the more deeper the work and the more pain that people endure. So what are some questions you can ask yourself to go deeper and understand the why? The why part. One question is you can ask yourself, well, what are the root causes? Like, okay, so I people please. What are the root causes of people pleasing? For me, why do I do it? You know, what am I trying to overcome? What's the desire? What is the gain that I'm trying to seek? And what's the need? Why do I need to do this? And how does it make me feel if I don't people please? That question right there. How does it make me feel if I don't people please? That one's going to cause some vibrations going on with people. Okay, sometimes things will resonate in a way where it feels good. And that question might cause some vibrations of, oh, you know what? I don't like how that makes me feel. You need to ask yourself then, what's the risk? What is the risk of not people pleasing? And what's the risk of people pleasing? Because there's a risk on both sides. There's a risk on both sides. People pleasing originates in a way where it can be a big help for our own self-support. Meaning we need to meet ourselves and our own needs with where we're at. And I believe that's one of another beauty of peer support. See, because where I'm at, there's actually somebody way ahead of me. And I look at them and go, you know, I would really like to be there. Like today, you know, I had something come up and I said to myself, you know what? I keep trying to have a breakthrough moment with this one thing. I keep trying and trying and trying. And I have yet to have a breakthrough with this one. But I keep trying. I keep doing. And somebody else might say, you know, Dr. Deb, I want to be where you're at. Not a competition. It's not in a competitive way. It is in an inspiring way. It is a hopeful way. Let me repeat that. It's not in a competitive way. It's in an inspiring and hopeful way. See, every peer who overcomes something, every peer that has a setback and gets up and has a setback, maybe licks their wounds and lays down for a while, gets up again, those are all people that are peers that inspire and instill hope. Right now, we need a lot of inspiration and hope. Notice I don't say motivation. You know why? Because motivation is, ooh, I feel good. I feel great. I'm going to go out there. And what ends up happening? You put the book on the shelf and nothing happens. But when we're inspired, it's different. Motivation's temporary. Motivation is, you know what? I'm going to go do that thing. Nah, I'm not going to go do that thing. But inspiration, see, motivation touches the brain. Motivation touches the thinking part. That's motivation. Inspiration touches your spirit and it touches your soul. And once your spirit and soul gets touched, it is like on fire. There's perseverance, determination. Ain't no stopping you now. That's what happens with inspiration. There is nothing that's going to get in your way. There's not going to be any obstacle that's going to get in your way. There's not going to be any barrier that's going to get in your way. And if it does, it's going to be like, whatever. I got this. Yeah, okay. And you just keep going. That's inspiration. And hope is when you do have that obstacle and that barrier. And you're like, okay, now what am I going to do? Hope is the thing that says anything's possible. Because I'm possible. And these aren't just words. Okay, if you guys thought I was so full of shit, you wouldn't know it. That's the other thing. Check your gut. When someone says something, do they say it with conviction? Or are they like drippy, you know, again, motivational speakers where you're like, you know, mesmerized and, you know, there's this hypnotic thing going on and you're like, okay. I'm losing myself, right? You're looking around at everybody going, oh my gosh, who's drinking the Kool-Aid? You know what? I gotta go. I gotta go. Check yourself. Really. I mean, there are people who have said, you say the things that only people think. Well, what good does it do if it only stays in the mind? It doesn't. It doesn't help anybody. What started off as a promise to somebody is now in 96 countries. And today we've been talking about people pleasing, what it is, why people do it, questions that you can, statements you can ask yourself to overcome, set some boundaries, and see if there's any breakthroughs. See if there's any breakthroughs in growth and development. Because after all, like I said, if you can't keep a promise to yourself, who can you keep a promise to? Guys, this is Dr. Deb with PTSD and Beyond. Thank you so much again for listening. And I want to ask a favor. I'm going to ask. You knew I was going to ask. Please go to our Ko-Fi account at ko-fi.com/PTSD and Beyond. Buy me a cup of coffee because you know I need it. And secondly, if you'd go to our Patreon page and be a Patreon sponsor, you can help us with our operational costs. Otherwise, you guys make it a good one, and we'll see you again next time.